Hello, welcome back to Believers Academy for the series, The Secret to a Successful Family. My name is Joy, and we're so excited you're studying with us. This is lesson four, and today Kelly Copeland will be teaching on how to live the love life for godly success. It's the truth. As you speak love, your family will change. Then you can get busy accomplishing what God has called your family to do. Of course, to get every point, you can pause or rewind this teaching at any time. Also, we have study materials for you. Feel free to download the study guide and scriptures. Use the review as a quick quiz. Now get ready and join Kelly now.
Hello, I'm Kelly Copeland Swisher, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast today. I'm so glad you've joined me. We've been in the Word for the last week and a half, really digging into walking in love, in very practical situations, and really we're talking about eliminating strife, division, envy, gossip, all of those things that Satan tries to get a foothold in our lives so that, and he's, let me tell you, he's not just trying to mess up families or just trying to be an irritation to us. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And he wants to wipe us out from being effective for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to put a stop to him. And Jesus has already put a stop to him. But if you want to put a stop to him in your life and in your family, there are some really easy ways to get into the Word, get into God's way of doing things, and allow the Lord to change your situation. And even if you may say, well, look, Kelly, you have no idea how bad my family life is or how bad my relationship with so-and-so is. You know what? The Lord will change things when you begin to walk in love. And the power of God is on the inside of you to do that. We've really covered some important territory. If you want to go to kcm.org and catch up with us, that'd be great, because it's just time for the body of Christ to eliminate strife. It's been time for a long time. You know how it is as a mom when you see your kids? I'm thinking back to being on long trips in the car with the kids. And just as a mother, you're like, y'all, stop fussing, get along, love each other. Well, I know that the Lord is saying the same thing to us. He is ready for us to move into that place where He can do over and above all that we ask or think. And He is wanting to pour out like a flood His grace on you this year. But we must insist in our life on walking in love. And the way we do that is to put the Word of God in about love, and also to be very hard on ourselves where walking in love is concerned. You know, my mom, she always taught us and has always preached to you too, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, not just in the King James, but in the Amplified Bible. You follow that scripture in the Amplified Bible, and love will never fail you. That's the God kind of love. So we have been equipped. We've been given the Word, and God is ready to do some big stuff for us. So let's get back into His Word today. We ended off yesterday talking about not being judgmental. I have one more thing to say about being judgmental before we move on. And that is, you know, for us as believers to judge someone, you have to use the law to do it. And yet, the law has been replaced with grace. So why are we still using the law to judge someone else instead of judging them by grace as well? You know, we want everybody to look at us and judge us by grace. I want grace. I'll pick grace. But if we're going to judge other people by the law, then we're going to be judged by the law too. And let's just put that aside. Jesus paid the price for you and I to receive the grace of God. And let's let that same price apply to other people that are in our lives. Give them the grace of God too. And just ask the Lord, say, Lord, help me see so-and-so the way you see them. And begin to pray like that. Begin to pray for them and ask the Lord to help you see what He sees in them and who they are and what they're called to do, and pray for them that the eyes of their understanding are open and enlightened, that they may know the hope of their calling. There's some scriptures that today and tomorrow, probably more tomorrow, we'll get into that you can pray for yourself to enlarge not the capacity for love inside of you, but enlarge the impact on your life that the love that's in there has. You know, the love of God is in us, but you ask yourself, how much impact on my life and on what I say and what I do and how I view people and how they view me, how much impact on my life is God's love having? And so we can enlarge that impact on our life by walking in those things, by exercising those things. I'm believing that by tomorrow we can talk about being led by the Spirit. You know, I've given you a couple of steps so far in dealing with a difficult situation or a difficult relationship. Number one, acknowledge God. Number two, repent, forgive, receive forgiveness, and then receive God's grace in the situation. Number three is be led by the Holy Spirit and walk in love at all costs. That's the number three steps. Those are kind of, each one has several facets to it, but those are the three major changes that you can make to step into some wonderful relationships with people. So today, let's start in Colossians. We're going to go to Colossians 3. I read this the other day, but we're going to read it again. And it says, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, our real life, the plan that God has for us, that's what He looks at. Ephesians 2:10 says before we were, Psalm 139 says before we were ever born, He wrote our days. Our days were written for us. Our story was written. And Ephesians 2:10 said that He planned your life and He planned the paths for you to take, living the good life. So that you might do the good thing He set aside for you to do. So He has a good plan for you. That is the reality of heaven. That is your real life, is what God planned for you. And I promise you, you could work all day, all night for the rest of your life. You will never approach coming up with a plan as good and wonderful and pleasing as the one God has developed for you. Now you may think, well, I believe that, but I've already messed things up. Listen, God, His arm is not shortened, and He has no lack of ways to get you into the plan that He created for you. And even when you make mistakes, God is a creator of the universe. He's always creating. Amen? He's got a good plan for you. So you just have to exercise your faith in that and believe it. But I bring that up today again because the other day we were talking about how Jesus was, and He was always, not my will, but your will. And He said, John 5:30 in the Amplified, He said, you know, I don't consult my own will or my own desire. He's only out to do what the Father says to do. That was His life. This is the way Jesus led His life. In Hebrews 12, it's like, how do we run our race? Well, we run our race with endurance by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that we keep our eyes on. And how did He do it? He always was doing what the Father said to do. And He told us in John 15 that He remains in His Father by keeping His commandments. And He says, you remain in me by keeping my commandments. So we do what Jesus tells us to do. And He's really clear about walking in love. But one of the things that He did as we were keeping our eyes on Him is saying, when He prayed what we call the Lord's Prayer, He said, your kingdom come, we talked about this last week, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, that's not just a nice, ambiguous prayer that, you know, it's nice for a postcard or it's nice for a bookmarker or a plaque on the wall. He is not going for good plaque art, you know, when he said that. He's going for, this is the way he prayed. And so let's take that part just a little bit again, just to set us up for where I want to go today. Your kingdom, Lord, you pray this way. Your kingdom, your way of doing things, the way you see things, the realities, what did we just read here? The realities of heaven, that's his kingdom. Your kingdom come here on earth, Lord, in my life. I know things, situations don't look right. They don't look like you've declared them to look in the natural, but I call your kingdom come into my life. I call your will as you have written it down in heaven for me. I call it manifested and come to pass in my life today. Your will be done on earth. Your will be done in me. I will accomplish your will today. I will accomplish your will this hour. I mean, break it down to the minute if you have to. I will do what God's calling me to do today. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is setting our sights and our minds on the realities of how things have been declared to be in heaven. And I bring that up because I want us to alter our thinking in the way we respond to people, or in the way that we're tempted to respond when people are rude to us, mean to us, unloving to us, unsupportive, gossip about us, slander. You know, to have their behavior change, you know, you use your faith, you walk in love, but the most important thing to change is you. Because if the Lord gets you on the right path, if somebody else doesn't come along, it's not going to keep you down. No one else can stop the plan of God in your life from coming to pass, except for you. And so you just stay steady in God and He'll see things through. And you know, most likely the love of God working on that other person and working through you, that person is can change too. But that's not really your business. Your business is you and loving that person. So, how are we going to walk through these things? How are we going to walk through this situation? Well, let's see what tools we have. You know, we can read in 2 Corinthians 10, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. They're not our problem. So the tools that the world would use in an argument or in a bad situation are not the same tools that we use. We're not going to... Maybe you could say they may be someone else in a situation that's negative. They might use the same tool as you, but they're going to use it in a different way. They're going to use their mouth to cut and hurt. But we're going to use our mouth like God uses His. What if He had just declared, man, these people are awful, and began cursing us? What if He said about you, boy, she's a mess. Listen, honey, if God says you're a mess, you're going to be a mess from now till kingdom come. If God said that about you, but that's not what God says about you. God says you're free. God says you're whole. See how God operates? He declares those things. He declares the end, how He sees it in the end. And from the beginning, He's declaring what He sees you as. So if we want things to change, we need to operate in His kingdom. We need to operate in His operating system. So I want you to see what that is today, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Let's look at Hebrews. We're not going to camp here. This Hebrews chapter 11 is the easiest chapter to camp on in the Bible, I think. Ephesians 4 and Hebrews 11. But we're not going to do that. We're going to just look at a few things here. By faith, in verse 3, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. That we now, the universe, it says, that God formed at God's command, that we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. That's worded a little funny, but what's it saying? By faith, we understand that the universe that we now see was not formed from anything that can be seen. Think about, right here, we're talking about God creating the universe. It was by faith. And then it talks about all these people. It was the universe was formed at God's command. So the universe, when God commanded, the universe obeyed. And that obedience brought, the obedience of the universe brought about what we see from something that we can't see. Now think, stick with me here. So what about all these people in Hebrews chapter 11? God commanded each one of them to do something hard. Each one of these people, there were really good circumstances surrounding the situation that should have meant failure. Really negative circumstances around them that would keep them from doing what God had commanded them to do. But when they were obedient to God's command, and by faith they did what God said, their world was created. You know, whether it was Abraham and Sarah having a child, Noah and his family building a boat and being saved from the flood, whatever those circumstances were that were against their success, were changed by their obedience to God's command and by faith that changed the circumstances. Now, I say that because we don't, again, wrestle against flesh and blood. Let's look. How are we going to do things? Let me look at Romans chapter 12, and then we're going to go to James. So Romans 12, let's see, Romans chapter 12, okay. Here it says in verse 14, bless those who persecute you. This is the New Living. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Now, when people curse you, it is very easy to want to curse them back or to not forgive them or to be mad at them. People, I don't think, understand, if you don't stop and think about God and His nature, and not just His nature, but His mode of doing things, which we just read His mode in Hebrews chapter 11. That's why I read that to you. What is His mode? He commands, and things happen. If we don't understand God's mode of doing things, then we won't understand what He's telling us to do here. Why is He saying, don't curse them? He says, bless those. Pray that God will bless them. Why does He say that? Because don't you want things to change? If you want things to change, don't curse them. Don't have unforgiveness in your heart for them. Bless them. Why? Because then they'll change. This is our power mode. We're not stuck with just being, you know, just because we're Christians and we're going to be meek and we're not going to react in a negative way and we're not going to get mad at people. That's not where it stops, see? The love of God towards that person wants them to walk in His love too. And so when they curse you, bless them. Why? So that they can be changed. So that God can change their life. And just the way God spoke the words and the world and the universe was created out of the unseen, when you bless that person, your words go forth And out of the unseen, situations change. Your situation changes not because of what you see, but because of the unseen. And I want to Lord, help me make this clear so they can understand what I'm seeing here in you. It's so easy in a situation, and I'll just call it a situation. It could be a husband-wife situation, mother-child, father-child, friend, relative, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, it doesn't matter. Situation is a situation. But the most critical detail about a situation is it is what is in your face all the time. Am I wrong? That situation, you wake up, that situation, I mean, when you're talking about a tough situation, that's the thing, you wake up thinking about it. You wake up and you're faced with that situation. You go to bed, you're faced with that situation. You look at your phone, at your texts, at your emails, there's the situation. It's in your face all the time. And it's very easy to get your focus on the thing that is seen. But what God is saying to you is get your eyes off of that thing that is seen. Just like those Hebrews 11 folks, they had a situation that they could have had their eyes on that situation and they never would have accomplished what God set out for them to do. They never would have run their race. What about Jesus? Remember in Hebrews 12, it talks about that Jesus... let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by that race, by the way, is the unseen. That goal of that race, it's unseen. It's out there. It's that thing that God wants you to accomplish. And he says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy waiting him, he endured the cross. He looked at the unseen. Disregarding its shame. You know, he says he think of all the hostility and he endured from sinful people. Listen, Jesus had a lot of stuff he could have looked at. He could have looked at what he saw. Even his own disciples, Peter, left him in the lurch. But he didn't look at those things. He looked at the unseen. And that's what I want to encourage you today. Look at the unseen. Let God birth in you the picture of your family whole, the picture of your marriage whole, your children, your parents, your brothers, your sisters whole, walking in love, every one of you accomplishing that thing that God has called you to do. Set your sights on God's will in heaven. See, even though you don't know exactly what God's will is for each and every one of these people in your life, you can be in agreement with God about what His will is. You know it's good. You know it's going to flow with His will for you because, you know, His will for one person never takes away from His will for another person. He's got a great plan designed just for both of you. And you get your eyes on that His plan and on that unseen thing and you start blessing that person that wants to curse you. Don't curse them back and join in the problem. Just start blessing and things will change.
You have completed lesson 4. That means there's only one more lesson in this series, The Secret to a Successful Family. And I know you won't want to miss it. Don't forget about the free downloads. Take advantage of this extra material to help you solidify the godly truth you were learning. The last lesson in the series, See Your Family Healed, Whole, and at Peace, will encourage you towards success. God has a plan for your family and He intends to complete it. We'll see you again in our last lesson. Until then, have a wonderful day and remember, Jesus is Lord.